You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, pert and perky podcast patrons. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 12, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and along with me are our brilliant and bright buzzer-bumping bros and babes.
Yeah.
I'm Colin.
Dana.
And I'm Chris.
So before we start today's episode, we want to throw it out there to all of our listeners and such. We kind of are, I wouldn't say it's a battle, but we're kind of on both sides of the fence here. Recently, in our own pub trivia, the Quizmaster asked, what do you call a group of bees?
Oh yeah, this was controversial.
Oh,
and what? it was like the very first question of the night.
Yeah, too. First question. You know, what do you call supposedly a group of bees? Mm-hmm. And I instinctively put swarm.
Right,
a swarm of bees.
I think Dana and I were both like, "Oh, that's such an unofficial term. That's not, you know." And I think I was pushing for either hive or colony. Mm-hmm. I know they talk about bee colonies.
And swarm is also kind of like a more like a verb, like they swarm,
right?
Not necessarily a swarm up.
Yeah.
And then like the week after, then we get
so
another.
So what did you put? I was not there for.
I think we talked Karen out of swarm.
Yeah.
And that was so the answer. He wanted
swarm.
We put colony. Yeah.
Okay. Because the next week
we had, what do you call a group of ants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought it was army of ants.
And of course, I was like, I felt gun shy. I was like, well, I really think it's colony. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know I'm pushing for colony again.
Yeah.
But I had no confidence in it.
So we put army.
And in this case,
in this case, they were looking for colony.
They were looking for colony.
But the thing is, all of these are right.
Yeah.
So
a colony of bees, a swarm of bees, a colony of ants, an army of ants.
So we're just airing our grievances right now.
I know. What is the controversy here?
It's just like, which one's which?
I think it's that there are certain categories of question where it's not as definitive as it could be. You know what I mean? It's like some trivia question is like, it's this, unquestionably, boom.
But maybe there is some sort of delineation of when do you call a group of ants army and when you call them a colony.
Right.
Maybe it's like in a bigger system of ants, you call it a colony, but if it's just a bunch of group of ants, which is a subset of colony, you know, it gets complicated. So,
and we did look, you know, I mean, we of course do some internet searching on the spot. Colony, comma, army, you know, so it just seems fuzzy.
If anybody out there is a animal or is a zoologist.
Oh, I see. We're trying to figure out if there's a definitive answer to this.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Because it's almost like, cool, you know, a flock of birds versus a nest of birds. You know, it's so complicated.
Really, we're just angry that we got both of them wrong.
That's really what this is about, to be honest.
Anyways, today's episode is a little bit different because it's our all quiz episode. Yeah.
Number two.
All quiz mark two.
So put your thinking caps on. We've all compiled our own quizzes this week, so all hands on deck.
Yeah. So before we get started with the all quiz episode, you may remember that last week we had our carryover challenge in which we gave you guys a challenge to try to figure out over the past 7 days.
I got them.
You got them?
I got them.
How long did it take?
I didn't even try.
Well, let me reiterate what the challenge was before we start talking about that. So I gave you three strange sounding phrases, and those phrases were coach clone, 10 Dior bags, never fun, and finally Ray unties LNA vest. And those phrases all had the name of a popular fashion house in them, but also they were anagrams of the names of three fashion designers. And we asked you guys to give us the three names. So Karen,
I solved it.
Karen, I just thought of the first one.
The
first one is, Colin, why don't you tell us?
I'm assuming it's Coco Chanel.
It is. The first one is the gateway drug, if you will. It is, in fact, Coach Clone is an anagram of Coco Chanel.
Yeah, I got the easy one.
So let's also move down to Ray Unties LNA vest, which was probably the second easiest in terms of difficulty.
It is Yves Saint Laurent.
It is indeed.
Yay!
And finally, I mean, I'm most proud of this particular anagram. I did, in fact, make these anagrams myself. And I was taking fashion designers and I was anagramming their names and realized that Coach came up for Coco Chanel. And I was like, oh, Coach, that's a fashion brand. And so I figured, I cram a few in? And the final one, 10 Dior bags, never fun, is, of course, Karen, an anagram of
Diane von Furstenberg.
Absolutely.
Yay! There. Nice.
Wow, good one.
These are hard because, I mean, for usual anagrams, you can just plug them in online and they'll spit out normal words. But
exactly.
Since they're names...
You have to do it. You got to do it with pencil and paper. You're not going to be able to automatically solve these anagrams. And that was why I actually said in the challenge, like I said, look, these are anagrams of the names of fashion designers because it's hard enough even knowing that. So thank you all for participating again.
Good job, me.
Go, Karen.
Yay. At one point, I was really frustrated. I was like, just tell me what it is. And I was like, oh, I solved it. I got it. Eureka. It is our all quiz episode. Of course, we're just going to start out with our usual pop quiz hotshot. General trivia from our random Trivial Pursuit cards.
All right.
And then this one might not seem so random, but it is random, I guarantee you. Get your barnyard buzzers ready. Blue Wedge. What country? And actually, wait till I finish the question.
All right.
Okay. Because everybody's going to buzz in early.
Okay.
What country is the original home of Kobe beef made from Wagyu cattle?
Japan.
Yes.
Baloney.
From our episode 3. Nice reference. Pink Wedge pop culture. What quirky holiday features the feats of strength and airing of grievances?
That, of course, would be the holiday of Festivus, celebrated by the parents of George Costanza on Seinfeld.
Correct. Very good. Yellow Wedge. In 2007, San Francisco became the first U.S. city to officially ban what item?
Oh.
Is it plastic bags?
Yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Plastic shopping bags. And this was one of our Facebook questions, so congrats to the people who got it. And... let's see. Purple Wedge. In To Kill a Mockingbird, what are the nicknames of Atticus Finch's children?
Mm. Oh, I know one of them.
Yeah. Well, I think we all know Scout. So it's really Scout and... Oh,
I feel so terrible with you guys going like, well, I mean, obviously, we all know one of them is Scout.
I'm sorry, like, sorry. I don't know, is it like Pickle or something like that? I don't know.
I wish it were Pickle.
That would be more memorable. Yeah. Pickle and Scout. It is Jem and Scout.
Jem and Scout.
And their real names, Jem is Jeremy, and Scout is Jean Louise.
Mm.
Okay.
Green Wedge for Science. What household device invented in 1869 was originally called the whirlwind? Mm. Chris.
The fan?
Incorrect.
Oh. The washing machine?
Incorrect.
Mm.
Whirlpool, I guess.
Yeah.
Chris again.
The vacuum cleaner.
Correct. The vacuum cleaner, known as the whirlwind. Our last general trivia question. What feature was first introduced to professional hockey rinks in 1963?
Was it the glass?
Incorrect.
Hmm.
What feature was first introduced to professional hockey rinks in 1963?
Is it the Zamboni?
Incorrect.
Dang it.
So it's part of the rink.
Oh, part of the rink.
The penalty box?
Correct. Separate penalty boxes for each team.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
Before then, opposing players were in the same box, and obviously that didn't...
I can't imagine that'd be a problem there.
That's great.
angry athletes with sticks thrown together in a box. Sure. What
and
could
blades.
Go wrong?
I've already been punished in life. Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, I stepped on your foot.
Yeah. We're not even playing the game right now, so I can't say anything.
Low stakes.
Yeah.
Just rumble. All right, who's up first for our all quiz?
You guys are putting your buzzers down.
It's an all quiz show.
You got to hold on to that thing. A quiz could come up like whenever.
My hand was getting sweaty from
the
stress.
I'll go first. Right. I have a quiz for everybody. Right. So one of the more popular I'd like to think quizzes in this room anyway, quizzes that I did on a previous episode was famous first line.
Oh yeah, that was
a good movie. That's a good one.
And people really enjoyed that. Yep. So of course we're not doing that. but what we are going to do is famous final line.
Oh, that's okay. So much harder. Okay.
And just to throw you guys a curveball, one of these lines, only one, is from a book.
Okay.
The rest are all movies. From movies.
Oh,
all
this is going to be tough.
Oh, well, I'll start off. Okay. We'll start off easily. Okay.
All right.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Dana.
Casablanca.
Absolutely. Attaboy, Clarence.
Attaboy, Clarence.
The line preceding Attaboy, Clarence, was something about an angel getting his wings.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Absolutely.
Right.
Hey, everybody, we're all going to get laid.
That sounded like. I don't remember what. I know who it is.
Yeah?
Oh, wait, I didn't. It's Rodney Dangerfield, right?
That is not the question. It is, in fact, Rodney Dangerfield. It is from...
Is it Caddyshack?
It is Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. That was a good impression.
That was really, actually, yeah, you really got the spirit.
I love this town. I love this town!
Oh, gosh.
That was a less good impression.
Yes. Karen?
Ghostbusters.
Absolutely.
That's right. Film
I was cured, all right. I was cured, all right. Colin.
That's A Clockwork Orange.
Sure was.
Yes.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
Oh.
Oh, God, so familiar. I know. Yeah.
I'm so bad at this.
It was uttered by Michael McKean. It is not based on the board game Trivial Pursuit. Karen?
Clue.
Clue!
That was, wait, what was the final line?
I'm gonna go home and sleep with my wife.
That was a hold on, but didn't Clue have three separate endings?
This was the last line of the last endings when you watched it all the way through. Yes, indeed. When it was originally shown in theaters, they showed three random endings at the end of Clue, wrapping the murder mystery up.
Which is pretty brilliant,
but actually, ever since then, they've shown it with all three endings, and they say, it could have happened this way, but it could have happened this way, but this is the way it really happened.
Got
and
it.
That's the final line. Okay. I'm so glad to be at home again. Yes?
Is that The Wizard of Oz?
It is not the movie The Wizard of Oz. However, it is the final line of the book The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum.
All right.
Nothing like There's No Place Like Home, but I'm so glad to be at home
again. So that was purely a movie line.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's No Place Like Home.
Mm. It's too bad she won't live, but then again, who does? It's too bad she won't live, but then again, who does?
Is...
Colin?
Mannequin?
No. Wait, hold on. Dana?
Is it Blade Runner?
It is, in fact, the final line to the unofficial official movie of Good Job Brain.
I finally watched that movie.
That's right.
And I watched it the whole way. This is proof.
I don't have to see it, Dottie. I lived it.
Dottie.
So familiar.
Yeah.
It was not familiar.
I don't have to see it, Dottie. I lived it. Another Karen.
A League of Their Own.
No. God. Oh. Not close, but like that could be, but not true. Another line from this film is, I'm a loner, Dottie, a rebel.
Oh.
Dana.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
That's right.
Another softball for you guys. Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Oh.
Colin.
That's Back to the Future.
That is Back to the Future. As you wish. I think that was Colin again.
The Princess Bride. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I get to live the rest of my life like a schnook.
That's Goodfellas.
That is Goodfellas.
That's Goodfellas, right? Because he's in witness protection.
Exactly.
And, right. Spoiler alert!
Oh, no! And finally, okay, this is the tough one. Throw that junk.
Throw that junk.
It's definitely, it's not that. It's two men throwing something away that they consider to be junk. Karen.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Incorrect.
Oh!
Karen.
Jumanji.
Incorrect. Oh. They are throwing away a sled.
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good job, everyone's brains.
Good job.
It's so funny that we do better at first lines than last line. Maybe I just don't pay attention towards the end. Like, cool.
Our next quiz will be exact middle lines. Lines that are right in the middle of them.
I mean, I think you spend a lot more time on the first line of a book, you know, to hook the reader in, and then movie, it's the last line right before the end that they carefully craft to leave.
Well, especially so much emotion and things like that. Yeah. Right. Well, I think I have a pretty good segue into I have a little quiz all about movies.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe finally I'll get one right.
Okay, so we're going to take a little trip at the movies, or to the movies. So it'll be a mix of some Oscar questions and just movies in general.
I'm glad you're not participating because you're the best at movies.
Especially out Oscar movies.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, you know, it's like when I go to write a quiz, that's what comes to mind easily. Okay. All right, so we'll get some good ones in here, hopefully. What is the only major Hollywood studio that has never produced a movie that won Best Picture Oscar?
Whoa.
Major Hollywood studio. They have never had a movie win Best Picture. Karen.
Paramount.
Nope. Chris.
Columbia.
Nope.
TriStar.
No. it is Disney. Disney.
Wait, never won Best Picture.
Never won Best Picture.
That's true. Oh, that makes
sense.
Wow.
Okay. Yep. Crazy. Okay.
Though, I believe Beauty and the Beast was close. It was nominated for Best Picture.
It was. Oh. It was nominated for Best Picture.
Wow.
Disney's with Pixar, so it might happen.
What was the first movie filmed in color to win Best Picture of the year? So every other previous winner had been a black and white movie. Chris.
Gone with the Wind.
Correct.
All
right. Nice. Gone with the Wind. That's right. And pretty much after that, that sort of became, that was the standard for movies that had won. It wasn't until The Apartment, 1960, was the next black and white movie to win after that. What two-word phrase refers to the slowed-down, distorted time and space effect used in movies like The Matrix or Blade? Karen, emphatically.
Slow-mo?
No.
What?
Chris.
Bullet time.
Correct.
Oh.
Bullet time. Bullet time is the name. In fact, I learned this. Bullet time is a registered trademark of Warner Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They and, of course, the most well-known use of it was Matrix, and really it's, when it kind of came into its own as a phrase.
It's used a lot in video games.
What movie is the only winner for Best Picture that was based on another movie? As opposed to being based on a book or a poem.
Oh.
So this movie, this is a recent, fairly recent movie. Only winner for Best Picture based on another movie. Karen again.
Chicago.
Incorrect.
Pass.
Oh, no. Oh. So I'm just going to, yeah. I don't think they won. True Grit is based on another movie.
Well, they're both based on a book.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So when you say based on, you mean it's not exactly the same movie, it's just...
Right, right. You can say maybe it's a reinterpretation, or I mean, it's very similar. This was 2006. Does that help you guys?
No.
All right. No.
It was The Departed. So, Scorsese, yes.
Infernal. Oh, oops.
Whoa. Yeah.
It was based on Infernal Affairs.
Absolutely right.
Which
that's right. Which is
a
Hong Kong movie from 2002. And basically the same plot of, you know, gangster infiltrating the cops and cops infiltrating the gangs, right?
Okay.
Two actors have won an Academy Award for portraying the same character. Who are they and who is the character?
Oh.
In two different movies, two different years.
Wow.
These two movies each won Best Picture. They were separated by 2 years.
Wow.
Is the character like a historical figure?
No, the character is fictional.
Really?
1972 and 1974.
That would be Marlon Brando and Robert De Niro?
Correct.
Yeah.
Portraying Don Corleone.
Don Corleone.
That's right. That's right. Marlon Brando, of course, winning Best Actor in 1972, and De Niro winning Best Supporting Actor in 1974.
I wasn't thinking of franchise. I was actually thinking of fresh off the
right,
interpreting.
Right, right. Yeah,
like,
as you started
okay.
giving the clues, it started to fall in place.
All right. Well, this one, I'm confident one of you is going to get this one. What was the first animated movie to be nominated for Best Picture? I think Chris actually buzzed first. I
believe it was Walt Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Incorrect.
Oh.
For Best Picture.
First animated movie to be nominated.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Oh, was that? Oh,
Karen just said it. Yes.
That was the first one.
Oh,
that was
dang.
The first one to be nominated for Best Picture. That's right. That's right. And then it went to Silence of the Lambs that year. So hard to think of two movies that could cover different ends of the spectrum better. All right.
They both explore like the beast inside every man.
Yeah. They both involve people in jars and cupboards.
You know, false skin, wearing like...
You took this right. to a really dark place, Dana.
Transformation. Yeah, transformation. Absolutely, yeah, yes. Exactly. Yes, yes.
Talking
yes.
candelabras.
Yeah. Whoa.
They had a lot in common, Colin.
All right. We'll wrap it up with this one. According to the National Association of Theater Owners, so that you guys are all going to submit a guess here. Let me preface it by that. You're all going to, this is sort of a closest to question.
Okay.
So again, you know, we get a lot of these questions in trivia of for tiebreakers or things like that, where you're not supposed to know it exactly. It's who can get closest. According to the National Association of Theater Owners, concession sales account for what percentage of a movie theater's profits?
And I would only I would include ticket sales would be
everything right everything. So yeah so this
what percentage of the profits
tickets concession sales you know food and drink everything that a movie theater absorbs in what percentage of their profits come from concessions
75%
I'm gonna say 69
all right Dana
75
okay all right it's actually 40%
yeah I win with
Karen
69.
Wins going yeah. to yeah, Price is Right strategy.
So 40%.
No, we all lose in prices.
Oh, that's right. Because yeah. it's yeah. without going
too
over.
High.
Yeah,
wah,
you're right.
Wah,
so we all lose.
Yeah, so I guess it's only 20% of their revenues, but it's 40% of the total profits because they don't need to pay anything out to the studios.
Yeah.
So like food and stuff like that is just pure.
They get a
profit.
Nickel's worth of nacho cheese. Right. They sell it for $7.50.
Popcorn is so cheap too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So 40%.
That's why. Awesome. Bag of M&M's is like $6.
Yeah. They say, though, I mean, it's they say that, you know, the expensive food actually keeps the cost of the tickets down. That if they couldn't make as much money on the food, they would just raise the cost of the ticket. So you're going to be paying the same amount one way or the other.
Who's up next? Dana?
Hey, Dana.
Sure. All right. So my quiz is about books and literature. And I think all of these questions maybe would come up in trivia. We might have heard one or two of them in trivia.
All right.
Okay. Who invented the movable type printing press in 1440? Colin, I think.
That was Johann Gutenberg.
Damn it.
Okay, so this is a little tricky. You have to remember four book names. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So put the following books in order by number of copies they sold.
Oh. All right.
Yeesh. All right.
You're harsh.
They're well-known books, though. So first is And Then There Were None by Agatha Christie, Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger, Anne of Green Gables by Lucy Maud Montgomery, and The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown.
The book that sold the most copies was The Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown. So I would say Da Vinci Code. I'm going to say And Then There Were None.
I would agree.
And then after that, what are the other two?
Anne of Green
Catcher
Gables.
Catcher in the Rye and Anne of
I would say Catcher in the Rye and then Anne of Green Gables.
You're so close.
I would flip the last two. I would say, yeah, in order of most to least, I would say Da Vinci Code, Agatha Christie.
Which was extremely popular.
Right. Yeah. And has had a long time to get ground, too.
And has been a constant seller.
And then I would say Anne of Green Gables, and I would put Catcher in the Rye last with fewest.
The first was Agatha Christie.
Oh,
okay. The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, man.
Well, good. I'm actually happy to hear that.
Well, give him some time.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, And Then There Were None, fantastic book.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
If you love mystery and puzzle solving, oh, so good.
Recommendation from Good Jumper. Yeah. And then comes Catcher in the Rye and then Anne of Green Gables.
Hmm.
Okay, so the Bronte sisters are known for their works such as Jane Eyre, Wuthering Heights, and The Tenant of Windfall Hall. Name all three published Bronte sisters.
Oh, I'm already blank. There's Charlotte.
Uh-huh.
There's Emily.
Yep.
And I'm blanking.
Anne?
Yes.
Yeah!
Right behind Harry Potter on the list of best-selling books series is this popular series of children's horror / supernatural literature. What is the name of this series?
Can we all say it at the same time?
Sure.
Goosebumps!
Who wrote it?
R.L. Stein! Yeah!
In 1994, Bill Gates bought a notebook filled with the writings of this author-inventor for $30.8 million, making it the most expensive book ever purchased. He later had the book scanned and turned into a screensaver that he distributed with Microsoft Plus for Windows 95. So, who was the author of this notebook? Chris.
Benjamin Franklin.
Nope.
Sugar.
Leonardo da Vinci.
Yes.
Yeah!
Oh.
$30.8 million.
Wow.
Was he an author? Did you call him an author?
No, he wrote a notebook.
Then I am an author.
Exactly.
We're all authors. Which well-known French author is credited with writing the longest novel ever? And as a hint, Steve Carell's character in Little Miss Sunshine was a scholar of this author's work. Chris.
Marcel Proust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
In Search of Lost Time.
Yeah, okay.
Which
yeah.
come it has 1.2 million words.
Right.
Last question. Judy Blume is famous for writing children's and young adult novels that tackle tricky subjects or sensitive subjects. The novel she wrote in 1975 about teen sex was the second most challenged book. Was the second most challenged book in school libraries in 2005, 30 years later. What was the name of that book?
Teen Sex?
Yeah.
Are You There, God? It's me, Chris Kohler. Is it Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret?
Nope. That's not Teen Sex.
That's why. I thought it was going to be.
Those are junior high school girls.
I've never read it. Yeah.
It's good.
Is it yeah. Super Fudge? What is it?
This is her most controversial book. She gets a lot of heat for this one.
I'm blanking on it.
In the book, one of the characters named Michael names his penis Ralph, and she thinks that decreased the popularity of that name. People stopped naming their kid Ralph.
What book is it? My guess was Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, but there was never sex. It was just about periods and
I know I'm going to hate myself when you say it. It's
forever.
Never heard of it. All right, well, anyway. Reading assignment. We should all read forever.
Come back.
Name our genitalia. And report back.
Good job, Brian.
Hey, quiz.
All right, time for my quiz. All and right. Guess what? Music round is back.
Yeah. Yay. By popular demand.
By popular demand. I have a music round here. And there is a theme, but you don't have to guess the theme because it will be fairly obvious by the second clip. And how this is going to work is I'm going to play five short clips of music, and you have to identify the artist who performed the songs.
All right.
Here we go.
Oh, God. It,
the name of the song is, of course, Papa Oo Mau Mau. It is.
Is it
Surfin' Bird? Yeah.
Oh well, they combined. That's Surfin' Bird combined two songs, right? There was a song called "Papa Oo Mau Mau."
I think you're right. It was a reference to that. But either way, we're just stalling because none of us is.
None of us can think of who's the artist of Surfin' Bird.
I just think of Peter Griffin.
I cannot remember.
It is The Trash Men.
The Trash Men.
That's perfect.
Such a one-hit wonder. Yeah. Good trivia song. The Trash Men.
But I would accept Peter Griffin as well. Family Guy.
All right.
Number two. Guilty pleasure.
Isn't that Kid Rock?
Yes. Yeah. My name is Kid. That is a Ba with the Ba.
Of course.
Do our song clip number three.
Thank you, Karen. It's Roy Orbison.
Yes. Song name?
Be distinctive.
Ooby Dooby.
Ooby Dooby.
Yes. I think I know the theme.
Things you say when you're having a seizure.
Bob with the Bob. Fourth clip.
Ashley Simpson.
Oh. Yeah. We feel so embarrassed.
I like that.
Me too. I really like it.
Oh my God.
I saw Dana intentionally delaying buzzing in so she could pretend like she was, oh, let me think about it.
No, there's no shame.
fun fact, this is my running power song. Ooh. Say what you will, music snobs, but this song gets me going.
It makes you want to la la.
Well, you just imagine that you're running from Ashley Simpson.
No. Okay, and we have our fifth song.
Oh, 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 oh yeah. Do a diddy diddy dum diddy do.
We'll sing it
to do
it.
Do a diddy diddy oh, yeah. dum diddy.
I believe that is Manfred Mann's Earth Band.
Yes!
Oh, man, I was thinking Manfred Mann, but I didn't know the name of the, if that was the person or the band.
Wow!
Nice. I just, at some trivia contest years ago, that was one of those things where we missed it, and I'm like, all right, I am never missing this one again. And yeah, I just encoded it into my brain.
Because you know the song, but
yes.
Everybody knows the song, but like,
It's like Mongo Jerry, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, of course, the theme is...
nonsense words or filler words. Yeah.
got it.
Ba with the ba.
Doobie doobie doo wah diddy.
La la. So that is my music round.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Are you looking for a podcast that your whole family can enjoy that asks the deep philosophical questions like, do trees fart?
If you are, then you'll love Tumble, a science podcast for kids. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Marshall. Join us as we explore stories of science discovery, from butts to animals, dinosaurs, astronomy, and everything in between.
You'll love these stories, and you'll learn something new.
Find and follow Tumble Science Podcast for Kids wherever you get your podcasts, or at sciencepodcastforkids.com.
Well, mine's not going to be as entertaining, certainly, but I have another quiz prepared.
Yay!
Aw, don't short sell yourself.
I'm underselling, so you'll only be pleasantly surprised.
All right.
We're going to go back into the animal kingdom here, and I promise, nothing gross. We had some interesting animals a couple weeks ago on the show. So we're going to talk about superlative animals.
Oh!
These are fun. These are really good for trivia contests and pub quiz, you know. What's the fastest land animal? I believe that's Chris.
Yeah.
I believe it might be the cheetah.
It is, in fact, the cheetah. No. Yes, that's right.
Not a trick question.
Over 70 miles an hour they can be clocked at. That's right.
And likes to eat Cheetos.
Yes. Yes, right. Yes. Chester cheetah?
Chester Cheetos.
Yeah, they're amazing. They can cover 100 meters in just a little bit over 6 seconds. So just for comparison, Usain Bolt's world record is 9.58 seconds. So they're a full 3+ seconds faster than Usain Bolt.
If we had a cheetah and we made him chase after Usain Bolt.
Yeah, he would catch him.
Usain Bolt would be food.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They have to, you know...
Stringy food.
So, what is the fastest animal in water? What is the fastest fish, basically, is what I'm asking.
Oh.
Karen.
I know it's a shark, and I think it is called... a Maki shark?
Ooh, wow. Very, very close. So you're thinking, I think, of the Mako shark.
Yes.
Which is the fastest shark. But I thought that was the fastest seafaring creature as well. That is incorrect, though. There is a faster animal.
Is it a shark?
It's not a shark. It's not a shark. It's
not
actually,
a shark.
It is the...
shark.
Say shark again.
Sperm whale.
It's the sailfish.
Oh.
The sailfish, which you know often see mounted on trophy boards or whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they can reach speeds of over 65 miles an hour.
Wow.
Obviously they're known for their speed and their jumping ability.
Are they... So do they reach that speed in the water?
Yes. Okay. They can pace boats. They can ride alongside.
Wow.
Yeah, they're incredibly fast. They can also change their color like chameleons. And finally,
Needs to make a horror movie.
Sailfish.
They're like piranhas.
When they run out of all the piranha movies. Yeah, exactly.
Sailfish. They change colors. I mean, that's pretty freaky.
Flying
like
teeth or something. Yeah. Feel free to use that, Hollywood. I'll give you that one.
Yeah. For free.
3D.
So we've got land and sea. What's the fastest animal in the air? So... Dana, I believe, was first.
The Peregrine Falcon?
It is, yes, indeed. It is the Peregrine Falcon, which, by all accounts, the fastest animal anywhere. So the fastest animal.
Hold up.
Yes.
I would like to contest that. It has the help of gravity.
Now, this is true. So it can reach speeds over 200 miles an hour, but it does it when it's doing its...
dive.
It has, it has a very characteristic hunting dive attack that it does.
So really, you or I could do the same thing. So you just have to jump out of an airplane.
So if you're using gravity... Well, you need to be aerodynamic. I would wager, take this the wrong way, Chris, but I would wager that a Peregrine Falcon is more aerodynamic than you
there
are.
There are a lot of things
So now I anticipated that someone was going to complain about that. I wanted to see, if you take gravity out of the equation, the fastest bird is the white-throated needletail, also called a spine-tailed swift. And a swift is they look sort of like swallows or hummingbirds. They're in that same general family.
Oh, so they're tiny.
They're not huge, right? They're smaller than, other birds of prey. They're bigger than hummingbirds. They're not that small, but they're in the same order as hummingbirds. They're the fastest flying in sustained flapping flight. They can reach over 100 miles an hour sustained, which is still pretty darn fast.
Okay.
That's very fast.
New Hollywood movie idea. Let's combine all of these animals and put them in a horror movie. Wherever you go, there's a fast
is
animal
a cheetah or a little bird.
We could totally sell it to sci-fi. If they make Sharktopus, they'll make our movie.
Yes. 3D.
And then just for fun, I was curious. What do you guys suppose is the fastest animal subterranean, digging through ground?
Oh.
And this is a very unscientific answer. Hard as this might be to believe, this has not been documented well. Do you guys want to hazard a guess?
So I'm thinking, obviously, some sort of mole or fast digger.
It's badgers, basically. Badgers are apparently amazingly talented diggers. They can dig faster than a person with a shovel. Because they have such huge, huge, powerful forelegs and these tough claws. There have been stories they can dig through asphalt. They can dig through blacktop. A badger apparently can completely bury him or herself in under a minute. Can dig straight through to the ground and be covered in under a minute.
Badass.
Badgers are amazing. Honey buzzards. Honey badgers.
What?
Yep.
Wait, it can go through, it can tear through asphalt.
They have been reported to dig through asphalt and blacktop and burrow down below. They are tough little suckers, yeah.
Cool.
Another horror movie idea. Swarm of badgers.
Tear through your face.
And they got those beady little badger eyes.
Is it a swarm of badgers? It's not a colony of badgers.
I'm going to look that up right now.
A murder of badgers.
Yes.
So, a lot of people, I think, the same way we know cheetah's the fastest animal, the largest animal on Earth. You guys might know is the blue whale. The blue whale is the largest animal on Earth.
When you said Earth, I was thinking of on land.
This
is one of those pieces of trivia that always blows your mind as a kid, because they ask you, now, what do you think the largest animal on Earth is? And of course, children always say the elephant.
Elephant, right?
Yep. No, it's the blue whale. And
Liars! And however, that's not what I'm asking. Mm. What is the longest animal on Earth? So it's not the blue whale. Dana.
It's something, I think something with tentacles, right?
Very close.
Is it a jelly?
Yep.
Is it a jellyfish?
Yep, it is a jellyfish. Yeah.
Is it a Portuguese man of war?
No, but I'm going to give Dana the answer on this one. It is the lion's mane jellyfish, which is consistently ranked the longest animal. They can have tentacles 120 feet long.
And these are, you don't want to hang out with these, right?
You do not,
You don't want to go fantasy swimming with these.
So, go opt for the dolphins. If you're offered a choice between swim with the lion's mane jellyfish or swim with the dolphins,
go for the dolphins
package. It's worth it. Yeah. Now, however, the longest single specimen of an animal ever recorded appears to have been a bootlace worm, which is not a pleasant animal, and I'm not going to get too into the details, but there was one that washed ashore in 1860s that measured 180 feet long.
Wow.
So it's just a single animal, and they're super, super thin little worms.
Oh, yeah, spaghetti?
Much like spaghetti. They're called bootlace worms because they look like bootlaces. And just to make them sound even more pleasant, when you handle them, they produce copious amounts of a thick, pungent mucus. Oh, and also it's toxic.
That's just because they like you.
But that was a one single animal. So speaking of the poison and dangerous things like jellyfish, so I've got two questions here. So I educated myself. I didn't realize there was a distinction between venom and poison. So you talk about venomous animals are animals that bite you or sting you or have a venom of some sort. Poisonous animals meaning just they're producing poison of some kind. So I'm going to ask you two questions. What is the most venomous animal on Earth?
Is it the man of war?
It's another jellyfish. It's the box jellyfish.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Specifically this. The sea wasp variety of the box jellyfish.
So how venomous is it?
They're so venomous that you have virtually no chance of surviving unless you treat it immediately. And the effect is so overwhelming that I guess like when people are stung by these jellyfish, they'll more often die from drowning or heart failure because just the pain is so unbearable. You go into shock or you can't swim, and so apply vinegar, which essentially it stops the nematocysts, which are the
urine doesn't work. I think that's an urban legend.
It's vinegar that works. Right. What is the most poisonous animal? So meaning this animal doesn't bite you to affect you with its poison.
What if you eat it?
Let's say if you handle it or touch it, right? Or if you were to eat it, right, exactly.
I'm going to guess it's some type of frog.
You are correct.
Yeah.
You are correct. That's right. It is the golden poison dart frog.
Oh, my God.
Which is every part of
that. Sounds awesome. That is a video game, right?
Yeah, it is widely accepted to be the most poisonous animal. So these are the frogs that secrete the toxin on their skin so that if they're eaten by other animals or even put in their mouth, they will die. And that's their evolutionary advantage. And they're called the dart frogs because these are – so these are in the rainforest in Colombia. And they're called the dart frogs because the indigenous peoples there will use the toxin as – they'll harvest it and use it on their darts, and arrows. And it is – you do not want to mess around with it. If you accidentally prick yourself, it's too bad. 2 micrograms of the toxin can kill a person. So don't touch them. They're so poisonous.
Okay. Sure.
Don, Colin. Chris is emptying them out of his pockets right now.
Chris, get them out of here.
But there are reports
getting
that,
on
like,
the phone with
animals...
my supplier. I need you to cancel those poisonous. Don't know what I was thinking.
Are these recyclable? Because
I see here on eBay you have a return policy. I would like to invoke it.
All right, we'll wrap it up here with one question on the animals here. Are zebras white with black stripes, or are they black with white stripes?
What do you mean, being originally one color, what does that mean?
Zebras are a white animal that has black stripes on it.
I'm going to pick the opposite.
We used to believe they were white with black stripes because, like, the largest areas of solid color, like their bellies are white, for example,
and things like that.
But apparently embryological evidence shows that their background color is, in fact, black. And that even the large areas, like the white stripes and their large bellies, develop later. So the correct answer is they're black with white stripes.
You know what? Religiously, I don't believe we should be looking at zebra embryos.
True.
That's just how I feel. Well,
Chris, I think we should harvest them and put them in our spines or something, whatever they do with it.
The forefront of the anti-zebra stem cell movement.
Absolutely. So for our final quiz of the Mega Quiz Bonanza episode, I also have something
Bonanza
to do with animals. Specifically, something that I know Karen will enjoy. This is a little quiz that I like to call...
Is it Disney animals?
No, this is a little quiz that we here at Good Job Brain like to call Present Dogs. I will give you the name of the dog, and you will give me the name of the United States president who owned
this dog.
Not fair.
I'm tweaking this a little bit. They may have owned the dog prior to their time in the White House, but in general, these are the first canines.
All you Americans, man.
Yeah. Okay,
I only know one.
All right. Well, I'm starting off with a softball, then. All right. Bo. Karen.
Obama.
Barack Obama.
That's the only one
I
know.
Sorry, which Obama? okay, all right, so here we go. Millie. It became...
Is that Eisenhower?
That was not Eisenhower. Mm. This dog actually kind of became a little more famous towards the end of this presidential administration. There was a book called Millie's Book. as dictated by the dog, in which Millie talked about her life in the White House. She had
those
puppies.
Those were relatively recent.
This was relatively recent, absolutely. Yes, it was in the 1980s that this happened.
Reagan.
It was, in fact, no. Millie was the dog of George H.W. Bush. Yes. Yeah. Buddy. Colin?
I think Buddy was the Clinton's dog.
Buddy was,
right?
In fact, the Clinton's dog, yes.
Bill I just Clinton's remember Socks.
One true friend.
Socks
yes,
the cat.
Yes, Socks the cat, right. Much more famous for the Clinton administration, but Bill got a puppy named Buddy.
Buddy the dog.
How about, and remember, you should be able to guess a few of these, like, from the time period, so this you're sure. going into a couple of these right now. Who had a dog named Grits? Karen.
Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Either Southern Grits. President.
Grits or Peanut.
Yeah. On a similar note, who had a dog named Pushinka?
Pushinka.
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 This is an American Pushinka. President.
This is an American U.S. president had a dog named Pushinka. Karen.
Reagan.
No. This dog was, in fact, a gift from the Soviet premier at the time.
Oh, whoops.
Kennedy?
It was, in fact, John F. Kennedy. It was given to Jackie Kennedy by Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. Pushinka was the puppy of one of the first Soviet space dogs, Strelka. Oh,
that's a good one.
That is cool. I want a space dog.
Do you know what president had a dog named Barney?
Yes. That was George W. Bush.
That was, in fact, George W. Bush.
How do you guys know?
Because, like, they put out books and things like that, and they do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Before,
I know who had a dog named Checkers, famously.
Oh,
Nixon
had a dog named Checkers. He talked about his dog named Checkers in an election speech, and a Checkers speech came to be a political term for a speech in which the politician appeals to the emotions of his
which for him was really key, because that was, you know, obviously one of Nixon's biggest issues is seeming warm and human.
Right. Who had a dog named Fala, F-A-L-A? Fala.
Oh, I've heard this.
Fala
before.
Was the subject of two movies. Fala was the loyal dog of this president.
Oh.
Was it FDR?
God damn
it.
FDR. Yeah.
Yep. Two movies about Fala. Scotty. Who had... Okay, this is going to be our last question. Who, what American president owned dogs named Sweet Lips, Scentwell, Vulcan, Drunkard, Taster, Tippler, and Tipsy?
Oh,
wow,
goodness.
Lots of dogs.
This president was a dog lover. Had a lot of dogs. Karen.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Not Theodore Roosevelt. Who owned many animals.
Yeah, I thought because he was a big animal guy. And a big hunter, but yeah.
Lots of animals at the White House.
Why? They were hunting dogs. Sweetlips, Scentwell, and Vulcan were actually staghounds, and Drunkard, Taster, Tippler, and Tipsy were coonhounds.
Hunting dogs.
Hunting dogs.
Were alcoholic.
Was it Lyndon Johnson?
It was, in fact, I will tell you, George Washington. Owned many, many dogs, and those were the names. Wonderful, wonderful dog names. In the process of the research for this, I found some other interesting animals that were owned by presidents during their time at the White House. John Quincy Adams owned an alligator.
Sure.
Rutherford B. Hayes owned a cat named Siam, who was the first ever Siamese cat ever brought into the U.S.
Oh, that's
wait, who
one.
Did?
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Wow.
And finally, true story, Benjamin Harrison owned two possums, and their names were Mr. Reciprocity and Mr. Protection.
Oh my god, that's so cute. I want a comic about that.
I imagine them in like little top hats and monocles and spats.
In the Oval Office.
Yes. I say.
awesome. Thank you for playing Prezi Dogs.
Prezi Dogs. All right, and that's our show. Thanks to you guys for joining me, and thanks to you guys, listeners, for listening in. Lots of good trivia tidbits this show, so hopefully you guys can carry some of this stuff with you and totally, you know, beat other teams at your own trivia competitions or whatnot. And you can find us on Zune Marketplace, on iTunes, and also on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks,
bye,
everybody.
Guys.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse?
the federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.